you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast, and I'm particularly excited today to have one of our living legends, Tom Hopkins. I'm so excited. Not only is he a dear friend, but he probably doesn't need much of an introduction. Well known as one of the top, if not the top, sales trainers in the world, certainly in the U.S. And Tom, you've written over 20 books, I think. I see this. And
Number 20 came out in April. And I think that's my last and hopefully the best.
Well, I'm excited to have you with me today. You've also had Lifetime Achievement Awards. He's recognized as the number one sales guru. And certainly, if you know Tom, you know that that's exactly what he is, because he really has, millions of people have benefited from you and your talk. So thank you so much for being with me, Tom.
My pleasure.
Well, the folks that are watching this, you know, this is the Play Big Movement podcast. So we talk about being top of your field, living your legacy, and creating maximum impact. And so, you know, a lot of people know you as Tom Hopkins, the icon, you know, the living legend. You actually, when you got into the sales field, you started in the role of real estate. Tell us a little bit about the young Tom Hopkins.
Well, I didn't go to college. I did go for 90 days. And after 90 days in college, I really realized the academic setting wasn't for me. And so I quit college, which of course broke my father's heart. I came home, I'll never forget it, so vivid in my mind. I walked in and he was sitting there and he says, "What are you doing home?" I says, "Dad, I made a career decision. I quit college." And my dad was a very strong man, and I'd never really seen him cry, but tears filled his eyes. And he says, "Tom, I will always love you because you're my son, even though based on your decision to quit college, I don't think you'll ever amount to anything." And that, in a way, Sharon, was my first, if we can say it, motivational talk, because I was, at that point in my life, just 18 years of age. I didn't know where I was going to go or what I was going to do. I went in my bedroom very depressed when my dad told me I'd never amount to anything. And it just so happens that night, my uncle, Uncle Don Hansen, came to have dinner with us. And he, of course, walked in my room. I was sitting on the bed. He says, "Tom, tell me you're kidding, that you didn't quit college for real." I said, "Uncle Don, it's not for me. I just not interested. I'm not getting good grades, and I don't know what I'm going to do." Well, he said, "Listen, I'm general manager of a steel company," which he was, and they had just been given the contract to build the bridge decks on the freeway from Los Angeles out to San Francisco. And he said, "We need iron workers." And the folks watching or hearing us right now maybe don't know, but an iron worker is the man that carries the reinforcing steel, because concrete on a bridge deck, it doesn't have any strength if you didn't put reinforcing steel in it first. Many of the folks watching right now maybe have seen a swimming pool made where they put in these rebar, and they're only about a number 4 bar, which is about as big as this pin in diameter. But on a bridge deck, the main bar is a number 11 bar, which is 1¾ inches in diameter. They cut them in 60-foot lengths. They weigh 208 pounds. And the only way these bars get out to the deck before the concrete is poured is men, like animals, have to carry them. And I did that for a year, And as you know, Sharon, I'm 5'7" tall, but I always tease and say I was 6'2" when I started carrying steel, and look what happened to me. But anyway, I did it for a year, and my dad, again, who was so disappointed in me, he came to my little apartment, and he says, Tom, Uncle Don says you're one of the hardest workers on the job carrying steel, and I'm just curious, is this what you want to do all your life? And I said, Dad, I don't know what I want to do. I sure don't want to carry steel, and it's the hardest labor. And he said, well, look, you got a nice way with people. You know, why don't you go to real estate school? You're 18, and in California, you can get a license now at 18. And I said, oh, Dad, that means I got to pass an exam. And I'm not that smart. I don't think I can. Of course, a lot of self-doubts back then when I was a kid. And anyway, sure enough, I failed the real estate exam 3 times. And luckily, I just made myself take it the 4th time, and I passed. But then, Sharon, I had a problem because I was not only 18, I looked rather young, but back in the real estate days back then, it was really almost a middle-aged man's business. There were very, if any, teenagers in the business. And believe it or not, this is residential real estate. There were very few women back then, which is totally different today. The women in the real estate industry pretty much control that part of the industry. So anyway, I finally got a license. No one wanted to hire me. I didn't have a car. And so here I'm on a motorcycle in it with a real estate license. And thank goodness a man said, I'll give you a chance. And he let me start with him. And I didn't do well in the beginning. Many people hear about my last year, which I did do 365 homes, which is an average of one a day, which had never been done in real estate. But they don't know that my first 6 months, I only made one little sale. And that was not a very good start. And my savings from carrying steel was depleting. I was scared to death, afraid of failing, proving my father right that I'd never be anything. And luckily, I went to a seminar. And the man instructing the seminar was named J. Douglas Edwards, who back in those days, he even had a title, the Father of American Selling. And I went and sat for 3 days in a seminar and studied every night to learn all these questions, learn the closing skills. And sure enough, I left that 3-day course and they had a contest and I won and my life had changed. All of a sudden, I knew what to say. If a buyer said it cost too much, I knew the formula to handle the money objections. If a buyer said we want to sleep on it or think it over, I knew how to take that stall and convert it into something I could handle and close the sale. So that's kind of what happened. And then all of a sudden, I really believe, Sharon, I found my niche. And I hope the folks now with us will find their niche in life. And of course, I call the niche is finding a way to make a living that's not work. It's something you love, you have a passion for, you don't ever work because you love it so much.
Well, that's, I want to jump in here because you said something that I think is so important, because you know, you're sharing your meager beginnings and I want everybody to pay attention to that, because so many times our audience is saying, easy for her to say, easy for him to say, look at the success. But what you said was you spent those 3 days, but you worked the seminar, you ingested the information. And I know you and I are both in the business of doing seminars. And I know that I've been to yours and you are very invested in making sure that people take what you're sharing with them. You have workbooks for them to actually apply it. And so many times people go to seminars and they don't apply it. They just go, they get revved up and they go home and go back to the way they were operating before. You know it and I know it, right? And so, so Tom, you know, everybody watching and listening, not only is he from, he's talking about when he was in the seat in the audience, you know, you were a sponge, you absorbed it and you applied it, and look at where you are today. So it's important to invest in yourself, and certainly to practice where that practice what you learn until it becomes a natural part of you.
So very, very true. Said right on.
Well, so you ended up coming to Phoenix and starting a real estate school. In fact, you and I visited about that the last time we were together, and I thought that was pretty incredible.
Well, yeah, what happened was I had 8 years full-time in real estate. And fortunately, I was doing very well. I was probably, and I don't say this braggadociously, but pretty sure I was the top realtor income-wise in California for at least the last 4 or 5 years. And that's when I thought, you know what, I want to teach others. And so what I started doing my fourth year was writing down almost everything I said to people, writing down the scripts, if you will, so that I could then start writing my first book, How to Master the Art of Selling, which I did in the early 70s. And then, of course, I had a decision to make. You know, there's an old biblical saying that a man is not honored at his own land. And I was invited to fly to Phoenix to speak for the Phoenix Board of Realtors. And the man that kind of put it all together owned a real estate licensing school. And he listened to me talk, and he approached me and says, I know right now you aren't able to, because I had so many real estate investments, so much going on, I couldn't get up and leave. But over the next 2 years, I not only traded most of my real estate income properties for other properties to get the tax benefits, and then I told everybody, I said, I'm leaving for Phoenix. And everybody that knew me, based on the wonderful life I'd had in selling homes, said, what are you, nuts? You're leaving your real estate business? And I said, yeah, time for me to do something else. I want to write books, and I want to teach others the art of selling. And that's kind of how it happened. And I had 3 wonderful years teaching people how to pass a real estate exam, which is the beginning of the real estate business for most people. And of course, here in Phoenix, so many people come here and in their 60s and 70s are going to retire, and they want to get a real estate license and do it either part-time or get into the business. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my students who came to let me help them pass the real estate exam were up there. They hadn't been in school 40, 50 years. They didn't understand memorization. And so I worked my tail off to get these people to pass. And we had a 96% passing ratio.
That's amazing.
It was so fun. And of course, I loved it. Loved my students who came. And of course, when I decided to not do that anymore and got on an airplane and said, I'm going to just take this training all around the world, wherever there's free enterprise and capitalism, that's where I'm going. And so for the last, well, many, many years, I've almost had a seminar every week somewhere in the world. And it's been fabulous. And of course, I think a highlight in both you and my life is when you either get letters, or I can't tell you when I come back to a city, how wonderful it is to have people come up to the stage at maybe the break or at lunch and say, Tom, 35 years ago, I came to your training program and took your book and learned all the closing techniques, and I've made a fortune, and I just wanted to thank you, and I heard you were coming to the city. So, by the way, 75 of these people in the audience are in my company, which I have built based on a lot of what you taught. So that's kind of a highlight.
And I think there's nothing better.
Oh, no. It's just famous.
It's one thing to know that you've sold millions of books and you have, you know, all these people in your audience. But when that one individual comes up and you know that their life has been bettered and improved in such a dramatic way because of something that you shared or spoke, there's just nothing more satisfying.
It's a highlight. And you know what's so funny today, Sharon, is so many people are bringing their young kids that be right out of high school or college that maybe don't want to be a doctor or a lawyer, but they'd like to find a way to make a nice income. Mm-hmm. So they consider the field of sales. And of course, as I always teach, you got to find something you love and believe in. I've had people say, Tom, I bet you could sell anything. And I said, nah, I did well in real estate because I had a passion and a belief in that as an investment for people. And I think the reason our seminars do well is the folks can feel the sincerity of my purpose, which is to impact them in such a positive way that they can go out and have a positive effect on others. And it's just been a fabulous life. And I know you and I, as we shared the other evening when we had met at a friend's house, that it's a highlight to have the ability to affect a person positively in a world that is overall somewhat negative. So it's been a highlight, and I've had a blast. And, you know, I'm going to continue to do it for a while longer, as long as they... A lot of people come and listen to my message, but
oh, they'll be coming definitely. You are cherished and idolized by so many people, and so a lot of the people that are sales professionals come to learn and to heighten their trade. But really, everybody in business is in the field of sales. Some people say, you know, sales is a dirty word, but really, it's just service from my perspective. I say you either sell or you serve, right? And serving people is part of the sales process. And for the entrepreneurs that are watching and listening right now, that know that they need to improve that close rate and that selling rate, give us a highlight of Tom Hopkins and playing big by improving your ability to communicate to your customer.
Well, you hit it right on the head again. I have tried to impart to people who want my training our message that forget the money and make that big dollar sign an S in the word service. Because if you'll serve more, you'll not only sell more, but you'll build a business and a following, a reputation in the community. And this is really something I've just tried my best, Sharon, to say, hey, the money comes to those who serve, and the sales are made not because of selling, but of serving. And then they want to do business with you, not only once, but for a lifetime. And during my 8 years in real estate, I bet that last two or three, many of the folks had already found a home for 5 or 6 years earlier.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they wanted.
I say when you sell, it's a transaction, a one-time right. occurrence. When you serve, you create a relationship.
That's right.
That relationship generates a lifetime of sales, right?
and I became kind of a follow-up specialist, if you will. I kept in touch, and that's something that many people in the field of sales and marketing, they don't know the importance of keeping in touch, following up. Tying some type of message to every holiday. I gave out 500 pumpkins at Halloween, which of course there's something that's a little special. I also, of course, was a fanatic on the personal handwritten thank you notes. And the folks viewing us right now, if they're interested, we decided years ago to put together what we call a free resource page on our website, to where people who maybe don't have a lot of money but want to make money can go to it. There's no charge. It's just tomhopkins.com, and they can get on the free resource page all my 10 thank you notes. They're a gift. And these are the little things that I feel endear people to you, to where they think of your industry, your product or service, and your face comes into their mind, or they see your face or hear your name, and it then impacts them into what your industry is and what you've done in serving them with benefits of what you offer. So
I love that. Yeah,
I really believe that one of the reasons you and I think hit it off was the foundation that we share. And I found this to be true of so many successful people that I've been blessed to get to know. I played golf numerous times when I lived in California with Wayne Gretzky. And as you probably are aware, he changed the game of hockey as a sport in our country because of his greatness. And so one day after golf, I said, Wayne, I write books, but I try primarily put on seminars, and I'm honored to play golf with you as the man that you are and what you've done for the sport of hockey in the U.S. But I'm curious, what do you think the reason was you did so well? And he said, Tom, and he gave me what I call the P word. He said, Tom, I had a passion for all aspects of hockey, a passion for practicing. See, and there's a word you want to remember, because many people in the field of sales and marketing or promoting, they don't have a passion for what they do. And you got to be passionate. People have to feel your zealousness, your enthusiasm, your excitement. And so he basically said, I had a passion for practice, a passion for winning, even a passion for losing, a passion for knowing that when I skated on the ice, the other team was after me, because if they could beat me, they'd beat the team. And so, gosh, he got so excited with this word passion. So I think that's one thing I try to instruct folks to do. Find something you love to do that's not work. I've had people come up and say, well, I'd like to do something else. I say, well, then get very frugal with your money so you can invest it or put it away so you can live for an amount of time till you find the business, the skill, whatever you want to do to make a living. And so that's always been kind of one of my first things I teach, to be able to live for X number of months without making any money so you can find out where you can make a lot more money, if that makes any sense.
Have that cushion, and then we talk about closing certain doors so other doors can open for you. But it is, I think you and I, last time we were together, we had a lovely boat ride at your house, and
yes,
talking about it, it's not work when you enjoy what you do, right? You just enjoy everything and the contribution that you make. And so, work is something that, people trudge through because they don't have a passion for it. And the issue is I want to underline, because that's my field, the financial literacy, is put enough aside so that you can survive until you can find what you want to, definitely. Sure.
And I also feel that you do have to spend money to make money. I think you do have to invest in yourself. There's three things we do when we're helping people say yes to any offering. We first educate. They have to feel from the moment we're with them that they're getting knowledge that'll benefit them in the future. Then we have to motivate. Now, I call motivation the reason for the action a person takes place with in their life. What are you doing and why? And once you first educate, motivate, and then I think you really have to have fun and enjoy the people business. That's really what I call sales and marketing. It's not selling, it's the people business.
Oh, and I love that.
You enjoy folks, they enjoy you. They want to help you build your business because you've treated them properly, with integrity, with ethics, and your name spreads in an industry to where when they hear your industry, they think of you. And that's, of course, I think the ultimate goal of anyone in business is to prospect your way out of ever having to prospect, which means
say that again.
You have to prospect your way out of ever having to prospect, which in a way means find a way to contact more people. And I learned over the years that if my productivity, let's call that sales made, went down, it was because my quality activities the month or two before had gone down. And that's something people have to be so aware of, that you've got to be very active, build this reputation of quality service, give more than you expect, and people will beat a path to your door because you're doing the right thing for them and, of course, for your business.
And now you know why Tom Hopkins is an icon. Rewind this and listen to this, watch this multiple times, because the nuggets that you've just, I mean, it's like one after another. I love it. I'm mesmerized, Tom, even though I know you so well. You just mesmerized me. And I think everybody watching and listening to this, just please get your notebooks out, rewind it and listen to it again. And I love the follow up, you know, with the notes and the gratitude, because a lot of people just say next, go on, and they don't take that time to nurture and establish that relationship. And I say it's also the follow through. Part of the follow up is part of the follow through to make sure that the clients and the customers are happy with what you sold them. And that's that part of that service, right?
Oh, definitely. And I think that if you'll just say to yourself, I'm going to find a way to have a contact with everyone that I even know. I'm not talking about clients even. Find a way to contact them 4 to 6 times a year. It can be tied into a holiday. One of my things that I did was everybody sends Christmas cards. So it's not a big thing. But I always send a very nice Thanksgiving letter that I would have professionally put out on a card, something to the effect of, you know, dear Sharon, let me take a moment and thank you for just being one of my valued clients. Mm-hmm. I've so enjoyed serving you and look forward to for many years. So we'll have a wonderful holiday season and we'll look forward to visiting with you next year. And these type of little things were so, I guess, special, because that's why people would choose me to do business with them, because, you know, I was giving. And not, I don't like the thought of you're giving to make money. I think that's just your human nature if you love people. Mm-hmm. You know, let them know you care about them. I can't tell you the number of people would call me if I'd put a pumpkin on their front porch and a little note, as you carve up this pumpkin, think of me, and, you know, cute stuff like that.
And everything you're talking about is the walking the talk when you talk about it, when thinking about the customers and the service as opposed to the dollars. Because when you're thinking just about the dollars, mm-hmm. the customer service goes out the window. And that's how you employed the concept of customer service and follow-up. That's amazing.
Yeah, I really did. I felt like, I think you have to make a goal. And of course, I know both of us are believers in short-term and long-term goals, but I think you have to literally sit down and as an idea here, you've got to kind of sit down and say, all right, what is my income goal this year? Once you establish, I'm going to try to make X for my family and I as income, be it overrides, commissions, whatever your situation is, then you have to sit down and really articulate how many transactions you have to close or how many people you have to serve during the year to earn that type of income. Then you break that down to how many people a month you're going to talk to, then how many a week. And I had it down to where I knew I'm going to make this many calls every day to where I'm prospecting my way out of ever having to prospect, which, as we mentioned earlier, is kind of the goal. My last couple of years, I never had time to make calls or really go out and knock doors. And that's
they were
a wonderful
calling you.
That they were calling me. And it's so fun when you look down on your desk and there's a message and you call and they say, Tom, so-and-so and so-and-so said you helped them in their real estate needs. And that's why I'm calling you. And I mean, your heart just pounds with excitement because you did the right thing for someone who then said, I'm going to send Tom some business or do more yep. business with him. And that's really what I've tried all my life to do. Even in our sales seminar business, we try our best when we go back into a city. I'll know the folks that were there the 2 or 3 years earlier. And they, of course, get a letter, an invitation to come back. And it's just one of those things that happens where they come back and we have a special luncheon for people returning for more than one time to the seminar where we can sit, visit, answer questions. And so, yeah, it's been a real wonderful life. And I know you and I both love it when the people that have invested to come see us in a live presentation, you know, share that, hey, we've impacted them in a way that, well, have a beautiful future effect for a lifetime, which again is the payment, I think, to a real teacher.
It definitely is. And everybody watching or listening today, I think, is going to be able to say that because of the wisdom that you've given us. And we're going to invite everybody listening. If you haven't joined the private Facebook group, I'm going to keep Tom with me for a few minutes, and we're going to talk about some personal habits and that he attributes his success to, and a little bit more personal questions. So make sure you tune in to the private Facebook group, Play Big Movement with Sharon Lecter. And Tom, thank you so much. I want to reiterate the resources he's offering at tomhopkins.com. And thank you, Tom, for giving us your time and your talent today.
Thank you, Sharon. All the best.
Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.